We have a special guest in the studio
Yes,
this
we do.
morning. It is Congressman Michael Burgess. Good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Dave and Amy. Thanks for
always
thanks
a pleasure
for letting me come
to have, always
thanks
a pleasure.
For popping in.
You just kind of happened to be in the offices here and wandered by.
Well, you know, up in the halls of Congress, sometimes we'll have a big debate, and then as you walk up, people will just filibuster just on the street corners.
You
see it happen all the time.
Very good. Very good.
That's good.
Well, I guess we're going to talk to you about your vote for allowing 16-year-olds to vote.
We can do that. Let me just mention first, this Saturday in the Trophy Club, I have my annual weather summit. A lot of people move to this area don't realize we live in Tornado Alley.
We're
probably one of the more
that
dense,
time of year.
More densely populated parts of Tornado Alley.
Right.
So every year I do a preparedness or a weather summit. If you need to get the information, my website at burgess.house.gov, and it is coming up at Trophy Club this Saturday morning from 8 to noon.
Well, you're quite a you have varied talents.
So on the vote, you know, part
you
of my
think my 16-year-old should vote.
Yeah, I do.
But, now you're my congressman, and this surprises me.
I think we should. I thought it was reasonable to have the discussion. Uh-huh. So I sit on the Rules Committee. Not a very flamboyant place to be, but part of my job on the Rules Committee is to listen to all of the stuff, all of the amendments that people put forward. This was on a bill, HR1. It passed the House. It's never going to become law.
Right.
So it's kind of
can't possibly get through the Senate. The White House won't let it in the door.
No, because it takes aim at the president on several levels.
Yeah.
So, it number one, the backstop is it's never going to become law. But listening to the amendments, and I had a couple of amendments that I thought were pretty important. There was an amendment offered that said we ought to consider letting 16-year-olds enfranchise them and give them the right to vote. You know, when it first came up, I thought, well, this wasn't really something I'd thought about a lot, but didn't seem like the best idea. But then the reasoning was that 16-year-olds do pay taxes. We all see things through the lens of our own experience. And when I was 16, I was working in a pizza place. And, yeah, I remember learning FICA was a fourth.
But I bet you were a knucklehead, too.
I was as bright as a bug as you could possibly imagine. I do so much. You know, as the Dylan song says, I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. But, look, this generation of adolescents, the people entering and leaving adolescence, do so with more structural debt, the national debt, than any generation of Americans has ever encountered.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they encounter their college loan debt and, of course, their personal debt. We make it easy for them to get credit cards. Look, there is we might ask, are there policymakers really paying attention to their needs? Are there policymakers really having their best interests at heart? Mm-hmm. And the answer might be no when you look at that level of debt. And what would be a way to get policymakers to pay attention? It would be to enfranchise that part of the population.
It's interesting when you put it that way.
And plus, I'm sure, as I said, you're my congressman, and I was surprised to hear you say this. As a conservative myself, my first thought, and perhaps it was yours too, is, well, now come on, those kids are not old enough to have the worldly experience and the understanding of the way government works. They don't teach civics in school anymore. They barely teach history, and they don't teach that right. So what can they possibly know? But at the same time, if you look at the way people are casting votes these days anyway, and the confusion that exists in information that's available via
even adults don't
the
know
news
what they're doing
or, the,
when they go
or
to the
on
polls.
Websites and stuff, we're all just taking a wild guess.
Well, we try to make the best informed decision, but yeah, we're right. We're dependent upon our sources of information, which is why I enjoy coming on Dave and Amy, because everyone should listen to you in the mornings. Hear the number one thought place in the Metroplex. But look, you're right, Dave. People, our generation, we consider ourselves with having accumulated a certain amount of worldly wisdom. But I promise you, I talk to young people who say, you know, maybe we should put a limit on, you shouldn't be able to vote above a certain age because. So there's something to be said for that, too.
Well, it's an interesting thing to discuss. As you said, it's good to think about things that you have firm feelings about and see if there isn't something in the edges that you missed.
Well, and the two amendments that I had that didn't make it off the deck were, well, number one was to get Speaker Pelosi to release her taxes, like the president.
Uh-huh.
And the other was I got carried away. I said, well, maybe every member of Congress ought to make their taxes a matter of public record.
They don't have to?
No. No, we have a...
Nobody has to. The president doesn't have to.
No, we have a financial disclosure form, which is impossible to understand, and we purposely make it opaque so people can't know what our interests are. So that was just again, it was a long day in the Rules Committee. I heard this amendment. It on one level, at least, it made some sense to me. I argued for it to be heard on the floor. It was, and I thought to be consistent, I ought to support it.
All right,
Congressman, it was delightful to have just a couple of minutes. Wish we had more time, but we didn't expect you, so it was a nice surprise. Thank you.
Great, thanks, David.